Well, hi, friends. It has been a little while since I've been able to get back to you, even almost 2 weeks, which is not the usual for me. We've been talking about the dangers of meditation, or the kinds of approaches to meditation which may involve dangers. And going back up here, we have the negative condition, in which there is undue passivity. The three bodies of the personality are too receptive and too quiescent, and therefore cannot ward off attacks from other planes, inner planes. Then the quite the opposite condition of ignorance or foolhardiness, as it is rushing in where angels fear to tread, using certain mantras without the permission of the teacher, and involving the student with certain groups of devas of the emotional and mental plane, and making him the butt of their attack and the plaything of their destructive instincts. And it's interesting that they do have, or at least some of them have, these destructive instincts. Then there is the condition which in which a man has actually succeeded, and he has become a positive channel for the electrical fluid or force, and therefore he comes to the attention of those who strive against the brothers of the light. So, as DK says, the last condition is the reward of success. In the first two, the student has to make the adjustments, and in this third case, remedies must be sought in a different way. I'm reminded of some work that he discusses in a treatise on white magic, and he tells us how to work with the light, whether it's the white light or the violet light, and with alignment with the soul, yes, and alignment also with the hierarchy. He teaches us how to do that. So maybe something of the similar nature will be discussed now. So here we are basically, on page 121 or so, concerning the dangers of obsession. Master Moria had said when he was writing in the early, middle to late 1920s, and in the early 30s, that there was an epidemic of obsession occurring, and we know that it led to the obsessing of the German people, particularly. And because of the Piscean negativity of that particular nation, and to some very unwholesome events, which led to the Second World War. So indeed, there was a profound danger. So here we have the dangers of obsession. We're going to talk about that a little bit. So dangers from discarnate entities are frankly those of obsession, either of a temporary nature and lasting for a few moments, or more enduring and lasting for a longer period of time. It may even be a permanent be permanent and lasting throughout life or the incarnation. And maybe some of us have had something to do with people who have mild obsessive cases, but it can become very severe up to the point of the kind of possession which the exorcists of the Catholic Church try to deal with, you know, a demonic possession, you might call it. I have earlier written to you a letter upon this subject, which you might here incorporate. We never duplicate effort if it can be avoided. I seek primarily to emphasize the point that this entrance, which we call obsession, is affected largely through the negative attitude assumed through the unwise following of unsuitable meditation. We're also told in the Agni Yoga teachings that when we manage to have a healthy radiation of the heart center, it does ward off the more likely possibility of obsession. So that tells us something about the energy of love, wisdom, and the, in general, the radiation of the heart as a protective mechanism. So about the student in his anxiety to be the recipient of light from above, in his determination to force himself to a place where he can contact the teachers or even the master, and in his endeavor to eliminate all thoughts and lower vibrations, the student makes the mistake of rendering his entire lower personality receptive. And instead of making it firmly positive to environing factors and to all lower contacts, and instead of only allowing the apex of the mind, if I may use so unusual a term, to be receptive and open to transmission from the causal or abstract levels, and even from the intuitional, the student permits reception from all sides. He's like an open house. You know, sometimes you read about the out in the wilderness, the bears come into the house looking for food. And if you leave your door open and you leave your windows wide open, that is what's going to happen. These unwelcome guests, well, they're not really guests, are they? Unwelcome entities come in. We're also told of the man who swept his house clean of a number of devils and then neglected to keep the cleanliness, and then came back and found that even more devils, possessing agents, had taken up residence within his home. And this is kind of a condition that applies to humanity following the driving back of the forces of evil by the end of the Great War, by the end of the Second World War, but being insufficiently vigilant and leaving the door somewhat ajar so that they could come back in, and then humanity, or the man, found himself in worse condition than before. So ambition is drives towards this receptivity. Often ambition drives one towards this dangerous openness. And we allow in etheric, astral entities, and even, you know, the lower entities of the concrete mind, when instead our channel should be from the angel of the presence. And we should be open then to transmission from the causal body and from the abstract levels, and even from the intuitional levels. But we are far too receptive and non-discriminating as to what we allow to come in. Only a point within the brain should be receptive. All the rest of the consciousness should be so polarized that outer interference will not be possible. So maybe this is that area in the brain. I think one of the rules of magic, either the seventh or the eighth, deals with this. That spot which is neither dry nor wet should be the standing place whereon his feet are set. So not the not the solar plexus. Let's see if we can find that, you know, treatise on white magic, and it's right at the very beginning. Maybe I can find it. You see, it's in the rules for the astral plane. Yeah, it's rule number 8, and here it is, I think. The midway spot, which is neither dry nor wet, must provide the standing place whereon his feet are set. When water, land, and air meet, there is the place for magic to be wrought. So I think we have a combination here of density, ethericity, and also the watery level, the astral plane, but it's not the midway spot. Or should we say, it's not the point where land and water meet. It's not simply involving the solar plexus. Okay. So only the point within the brain should be receptive, and all the rest of the consciousness should be so polarized that outer interference will not be possible. This refers to the emotional and mental bodies, and to the mental bodies through which the majority these days, though with the majority these days, it refers solely to the emotional. I think we have a case of a pretty strongly emotionally polarized humanity. At this particular period of the world's history, the emotional plane is so densely populated, and the response of the physical to the emotional is now becoming so exquisitely attuned that the danger of obsession is greater than ever before. I think I'll use this color. So let's just say we have largely emotionally polarized humanity. And a very dangerous situation. The response of the physical and emotional is now becoming so exquisitely attuned that the danger of obsession is greater. I think we see this in political movements. I think we see this in church tendencies, especially along the doctrinaire fundamentalist line. I think Nazism, I think those great widely attended Nuremberg rallies of the 1930s were an example of mass obsession in the crowds of thousands and thousands of people. And we see even something similar, though not yet of the same intensity, in these political rallies run by demagogically inclined leaders. Okay. But for your cheering, the reverse holds good also, and response to the divine and rapid reaction to the higher inspiration has never been so great. So it's both sides here that offer their opportunities, one for real trouble and retardation, and the other for increased possibilities. Divine inspiration, or that divine obsession, which is the privilege of advanced souls, will be understood in the coming years as never before, and will definitely be one of the methods used by the coming Lord and his great ones for the helping of the world. So this is kind of an overshadowing that we're talking about, or an overlighting, maybe we can call it in a more positive sense. And it is the positive side of possession. It is a kind of ecstasy, we might call it. A kind of ecstasy, and we should think of Socrates. And Socrates, they were called rapts or raptures. The story goes he would be even standing and suddenly become immobile, and he was in communion with his daemon, not demon, but daemon, his higher aspects. And I guess maybe no one would approach him, you know, during such rapts, because they didn't dare interrupt. He was actually a formidable soldier, too. We sometimes think about the philosopher as only the thinker, and maybe, you know, late in his later days he became primarily that, but he was a warrior as well. So this is the positive form of possession, divine inspiration, divine possession, and so forth. The thing to be remembered is that in the case of wrong obsession, you know, because let's just say, as there is right obsession or divine possession, The man is at the mercy of the obsessing entity and is unconsciously or unwillingly a partner in the transaction. He has not warded it off. He has not been willing or able to ward off the possessing entity of a negative kind. POSS, possessing, yeah. In divine obsession, the man consciously consciously or willingly cooperates with the one who seeks to inspire or to occupy his lower vehicles. The motive is ever the greater helping of the race. This is very different, isn't it? So in divine obsession, so the man is quite unconscious in the first case, and he really doesn't know how to rid himself. Maybe he doesn't even want to rid himself of the possessing entity. Maybe he doesn't even understand that he is being possessed. But it's different with divine obsession. Maybe we've had our moments of ecstasy, of rapture, of some higher energy taking over and us wanting to go with that and to express it. The obsession then is not the result of a negative condition, but of a positive collaboration, and proceeds under law for a specific period. And here is an ellipse where DK may discuss what that period is, but chooses, I think, not to make it public information in a book to be, you know, widely distributed. A positive collaboration. One thinks about some of the, you know, phenomena like Christ Jesus. One thinks of maybe Jesus Apollonius. One thinks of Buddha and the Prince Siddhartha or Gautama. I think, you know, two different entities, it strikes me. Anyway, a very, very high soul working through one of his students who is high enough in his achieved point of tension to be usable. As more and more of the race develops continuity of consciousness between the physical and the emotional, and later the mental, this act of transference of the vehicles will be more frequent and more understood. One of the things which is seems to be suggested is that none of this possession, let's just say even the entrance of a high soul into the vehicle of one of his students, can occur unless the sixth petal is open. So this suggests at least the achievement of the second initiation, at least the achievement of the second degree, before that becomes possible. And I suppose it will be increasingly the case. The masters may overshadow, overlight their students, even as they may be overlit by the great Lord. And these are matters of technical occultism, how it is accomplished and when it can be accomplished. I'm not sure what this letter is doing here that says October 9th, 1919, it seems like perhaps a typo. Why? Because the Tibetan had not, in that sense, made contact with Alice Bailey until November 19th, 1919. So it's hard to see how there could be a letter that the Tibetan wrote in cooperation with her from 2 months, or well, a month and 10 days or whatever, before he made his first contact with her. So sometimes in this CD-ROM, there are mistakes, and this may be one of them. Anyway, causes of obsession. We'll continue, you know, we're dealing with the dangers of certain meditative attitudes that cause undesirable results and even dangerous results. So we're on page 123 of the book. One of the activities ahead of the occult student is the study and the scientific observation of this matter. We have been told in the various occult books that obsession and insanity are very close. Well, let's just say, it all depends, doesn't it? Even a positive state of possession can be considered by many to be a type of insanity, depending upon their world, the world view of those who are making the judgment. There's so much of psychological, psycho-spiritual phenomena that are excluded from the definitions, the handbooks of the psychologists, because they think that anything touching on the supernatural is a form of mental disease or psychological disease. We have been told in the various occult books that obsession and insanity are very closely allied. Insanity may exist in all three bodies, the least harmful being that of the physical body, while the most enduring and the hardest to cure is that of the mental body. I mean, you think about the man from whom the word sadism took its origin, the Marquis de Sade, a French nobleman who had a truly obdurately twisted mind. And maybe we can see a case in point. Insanity in the mental body is the heavy fate that descends upon those who, for many incarnations, have followed the path of selfish cruelty, using the intelligence as a means to serve selfish ends, and using it willfully, knowing it to be wrong. Now that sounds a lot like what the fate that has befallen the Brothers of Darkness, those human beings who were initiates in the previous solar system and who wish to continue to possess their dominating prerogatives, regardless of the need to develop love in this solar system. So physicality is the least problematic of the insanities. Okay. So physical insanity is the least problematic of possible insanities. The heavy fate of those who for many incarnations have followed the path of selfish cruelty, using the intelligence as a means to serve selfish ends. Now you wonder, one wonders about members of the, what did he call it, the evil gang. Which surrounded Hitler and included him. Maybe seven, right? Something like that altogether, who were the a group that was able to invoke Shambhala in a negative sense, will without love, and the destructive aspect of will, and not the use of will to clear, even if destructively, the impediments to the divine plan. But insanity of this type is a means whereby the ego sometimes arrests the progress of a man towards the left-hand path. In other words, creating those conditions which will disorganize the mental state and give it a chance to be reorganized along better lines. It will mean the life is useless, but at least that kind of development tending towards true membership as a brother of darkness is halted. In this sense, it is a disguised blessing. So, you know, we know too little, I think, to be able to judge when we see certain cases of insanity. Is this an egoic intervention to stop this nefarious progress towards a nefarious end, that is a great disaster, that is membership in the Black Lodge? Or is the cause something else? If it's true mental insanity, that may really be the cause. Oftentimes, the type of insanity is more emotional. And I remember a woman coming, she was having problems. She came and visited Marianne Casolino and myself in the early days and wondered if there was something we could do for her. But obviously her imagination had turned lethal. It was hugely distorted and extremely ugly and unable to be banished. The images were always right there. And we realized, you know, that this might be something of a lifelong condition. And it was a truly frightening condition. I don't think anybody would want to be subject to it. Let us deal first with the causes of obsession, leaving the subject of insanity for another day. These causes are four in number, and each responds to a different treatment. Causes of obsession. Okay. Well, this is something the occultist will have to face. We will all have to face this. We will encounter people who are the victims. And of course, since those upon the left-hand path war militantly against the progress of the aspirant or disciple, we'll have to be aware of the nature of potential occult attacks. We'll have to recognize those things and not be oblivious. One cause, let's see now if I can make this One cause is a definite weakness of the etheric double in the separating web, which, like a piece of relaxed elastic, permits entry of an extraneous entity from the emotional plane. The door of entrance, which is formed by this usually protective web, is not closed tight, a bit like leaving the door where evil dwells ajar. But the analogy is not exact, but still, something is too weak and entities and influences get through that should not. So the door of entrance, which is formed by this web, is not closed tight. The entrance can be affected from without. This is a physical plane cause and is the result of the maladjustment of physical plane matter. It is the result of karma and is prenatal, existing from the earliest moment. In other words, building of the vehicle was not well done. Usually the sufferer is physically weak, intellectually feeble, but possessed of a powerful emotional body which suffers and fights and struggles to prevent entrance. The attacks are intermittent and more frequently attack women than men. I think we can see what a expert psychologist Master DK is, proposing causes for conditions which are studied by psychologists who essentially fail to know the real causes behind these pathological conditions. So, weakness, relaxed elasticity, a web. Well, you know, just try to hit a tennis ball with a racket which is worn out or poorly strung, and it doesn't have that same spring, that same rejecting power that hits the tennis ball back with force. But in fact, I guess the worst is the tennis ball goes right through the racket. Okay, another cause. Let's see, you know, if we have seen these things. Another cause is due to emotional reasons. A lack of coordination exists between the emotional and the physical. And when the man functions in the emotional body, as at night, the moment of reentry is attended with difficulty, and opportunity exists for other beings to enter the physical vehicle and prevent its occupation by the real ego, or, you know, the real identity. So that is a crisis moment, that re-entry of the psyche, the partially detached psyche, into the physical body. And let's see what he considers the causes to be here. So, you know, this whole idea of falling asleep consciously and returning consciously. Maybe some of us have some experience with that. Usually people often, they awaken on the other side in their emotional body. They become frightened, and that fright pretty much wakes them up. And they return rapidly to the physical body. I've heard some stories also about rapid and dangerous re-entry into the physical body. But it'd be interesting to understand whether there's a battle to see who or what gets in to this, to the house, as it were, the physical body considered as a house. This is the most common form of obsession and affects those with powerful physical bodies and strong astral vibrations, but with weak mental bodies. It leads in the ensuing struggle to the violent scenes of screaming lunatics and to the paroxysms of the epileptic. There's a hint, I think, about one of the causes or accompanying phenomena of epilepsy. Men are more subject to this than women, as women are usually more definitely polarized in the emotional body. So this is a more common form, and especially for here we have a powerful physical body and not a weak one, as in the former example. And there appears to be a battle at the doorway, a battle at the entrance point. And it must be very stressful, and people may wake up feeling they've really been through a drastic scene. But this is quite a hint about epilepsy and the lunacy that we typically imagine, a screaming lunatic, you know. Notice how the moon is involved there, and the decaying condition of the moon and its effect upon the earth is involved in this type of wild demonstration. Now here is another type of obsession. A rarer kind of obsession is the mental. In coming days, as the mental body develops, one may expect perhaps to see more of it. Mental obsession involves the displacement taking place on mental levels, and hence its rarity. And probably, you know, there's also a positive type of mental obsession. I remember, well, you know, people seeming to imitate philosophers of the past and carrying on as if the words were those of the philosopher and not their own, later to admit that he made it all up, you know. The physical body and the emotional body remain as a unit, but the thinker is left in his mental body, whilst the obsessing entity, clothed in mental matter, enters the two lower vehicles. Now, this is interesting. In the case of emotional obsession, the thinker is left with his emotional body and his mental body, but with no physical. In this latter case, he is left with neither emotional nor physical. I think, you know, we see here problems, basically, of integration. The physical body remain as a unit, but the thinker is left in his mental body. I think that's what we're witnessing here. When there are cleavages between the various vehicles, something can enter because of the cleavage. So it seems to me that integration, succeeding in bringing about personality integration and integration with the soul, is an antidote. So the physical body and the emotional body remain as a unit, but the thinker is left in his mental body, whilst the obsessing entity, clothed in mental matter, enters the two lower vehicles. In the case of emotional obsession, the thinker is left with his emotional body and his mental body, but with no physical. In this latter case of mental obsession, he's left with neither the emotional nor the physical, and the obsessing entity takes over. The obsessing entity takes over. The cause lies in the fact of the overdevelopment of the mental and of the relative weakness of the emotional and physical bodies. The thinker is too powerful for his other bodies and disdains their use, as if he were a mind only. He is too interested in work on the mental levels, and thus gives opportunity to obsessing entities to assume control of his lower two vehicles. This, as I said before, is rare and is the result of lopsided development and has to be cured through a causal body adjustment, choice of rays, signs, circumstances, which will correct the lopsidedness. It attacks women and men equally. It principally shows itself in childhood and is difficult to cure. So, you know, the question is, who then is controlling the emotional body and the etheric physical body? And lopsidedness, yeah, okay. And here is the fourth kind of obsession, and doesn't look too savory, I must say. A still rarer cause of obsession is definitely the work of the Dark Brothers. It takes the form of snapping the magnetic link that attaches the ego to the lower physical body, leaving him in his emotional and mental bodies. This would normally result in the death of the physical body, but in cases such as these, the Dark Brother, who is to use the physical body, enters it and makes connection with his own cord. I guess we see the science involved in all of this, and why, if we're going to enter the occult world safely and constructively, we have to know a few things. of an occultly scientific basis. When I say occult, of course, I don't mean the hocus pocus negative occultism. I mean the laws of the inner planes. So snapping the magnetic link that attaches the ego to the lower physical body, leaving him in his emotional and mental bodies, must be a terrible sight to stand by and see what is done in his name, but not really by himself. I mean, we imagine that in the positive sense, if there was a Christ Jesus phenomena, the psyche of Jesus would stand by and learn and see how it would be a great teaching experience, would see what the Christ was actually doing as he took control of the outer vehicle, but with his own principles in place. But here, it has to have been maybe something of a horrific sight, you know, because then, and you know, you hear of people being charged of crimes that they say, I didn't do that, you know. But you were seen, you were witnessed, you were there, meaning your physical body was noticed. Yes, but I didn't do that. I'm reminded of a event that took place here in Scandinavia some, not too many years ago, where a man subject to possession was in an apartment, department store, and he saw a Swedish official, a woman, and the voice told him to kill her. So he basically picked up a knife and stabbed her, and she died. Now, the question is, who was doing the stabbing? Was it him under obsession, or was he temporarily ejected from the vehicle with the malevolent entity doing the bloody work? I guess there are a number of ways that all of this can happen. The idea is to be ever watchful and vigilant and in control from a point at the apex of the mind, in control. Interestingly enough, Scorpio is so strongly Mercurian in its nature when we consider Mercury as the hierarchical ruler. And Scorpio is a great sign of control. It's also a sign of dark, willful power, where you can be fought and overcome on the inner planes. So in all these matters, DK points out the vigilance that is necessary and the subtle dangers involved, though he doesn't elaborate too fully when he warns of subtle dangers. Here he is opening the door a little bit more and telling us how this happens. He says, these cases are not common. They involve only two classes of people. Those who are highly, okay, so what we're talking about is cases in which the dark brotherhood is involved. Habits of residence which imperil the resident. The production of that kind of attitude called imperil seems to have some parallels here. Only this question of obsession and possession goes even farther. So the cases are not common, and they involve two classes of people. Let's see how and who. So this is kind of an A. Those who are highly evolved and on the path, but who through some willful shortcoming, that's the word, isn't it? Fail for some one incarnation and so lay themselves open to the evil force. So according to their own will and the refusal to correct. Sin, as you call it, in the personality of a disciple, leads to a weakness in someone's spot, and this is taken advantage of. This type of obsession shows itself in the transformation that is sometimes seen when a great soul suddenly plunges on an apparently downward path, when he changes the whole trend of his existence and besmirches a fair character with mud. It carries with it its own punishment, for on the inner planes the disciple looks on and in agony of mind sees his lower vehicle dishonoring the fair name of its real owner and causing evil to be said of a loved cause. Well, I guess, you know, either I remember this from having read it long ago, or just a lucky guess. But this idea of looking on in horror as the vehicle is used by some other malevolent energy or force is a great punishment. And I suppose the horror of it brings with it the determination to correct the circumstances which allowed the obsession. So, you know, some willful shortcoming. I think those are the problems. It's pointed out, one realizes what it is, but one refuses to correct it. And it gives a point of entry which allows the snapping of the cord, but not death, apparently. Or maybe it is death. And then the physical body is running rampant under the directorship of the obsessing entity. So the physical body stays alive, and the man in his subtle body sees what is happening. The little evolved, weakly organized, and so unable to resist. It almost looks like we have a problem here. Is something left out? Page 126 of the book. And let's just see what the issue is. Well, that sentence is just dangling there. So maybe it's a summation. In a way, the little evolved, weakly organized, and so unable to exist. But it, doesn't seem to go anywhere. So maybe I'm just missing the point. I'm not sure. Anyway, we'll go on a bit. And let's see. Yeah. The kinds of obsessing entities. Well, too many to mention, really. These are too many to mention in detail, but I might enumerate a few, he says. So let's see how he, you know, how he sees this, and this can help with our attitude of vigilance. Let's see. Number one, discarnate entities of a low order, awaiting incarnation, and who see, in cases one and two, their wanted opportunity. So cases one and two, let's just review that. Cases one and two, the weakness in the etheric double, weakness in the separating web, it is a lack of emotional coordination, you know, emotional and physical, lack of coordination, and the struggle to see who gets into the house. And let's see, powerful physical bodies and strong astral bodies. The other earlier one simply has the weak physical body, weak etheric body. And it doesn't say too much about the strength of the emotional plane. But it is evident from the beginning. Oh no, here it says, powerful emotional body. Yeah. Usually the sufferer is physically weak, intellectually feeble, but possessed of a powerful emotional body which suffers and fights and struggles to prevent the entrance. Is this, So in point number one and point number two, these one type of entity sees its opportunity. Discarnate entities of a low order. Now maybe they're simply out of their body, awaiting incarnation, and who see in cases one and two their wanted opportunity. And let's see, we know that weakness is the problem in the case of the first type. And a lack of coordination in the second type, which shows that re-entry is a problem. Okay, so let's just say here, re-entry into the physical body is a problem due to lack of coordination between the astral body and the etheric physical body. So opportunity exists there because of the lack of coordination rather than simply the weakness we might say type two succeeds due to lack of coordination, and type one due to weakness of the etheric physical body. All right. So these are low discarnate entities, because who but those who are low would seek to re-enter under such distressing circumstances. So discarnate entities awaiting incarnation. And let's see here. Suicides, anxious, almost a runaway computer. But maybe I caught it in time. I hope so. Suicides, anxious to undo the deed and to again get into contact with Earth. So there must be a special place or a special state in which suicides find themselves, a special state in which suicides find themselves. Yeah, it's the perspective changes, doesn't it? And they realize the terrible error that they have made, willfully cutting the term of karma short and foregoing further opportunity for service. Earthbound spirits, good and bad, who from anxiety over loved ones, over their business affairs, or eager to do some wrong or undo some evil act, rush in and take possession of cases one and two. Earthbound spirits, good and bad. Well, the earthbound soul. And when we have not successfully detached from the circumstances that we are leaving behind for reasons of anxiety regarding the affairs left behind, this possibility exists. Okay, the Dark Brothers, as aforesaid, who avail themselves. Let's just, you know, give our will show who they are, at least. As aforesaid, who availed themselves principally of the third and fourth cases already cited. They require highly developed bodies, have no use for weak or unrefined bodies. In case three, the weakness is entirely relative due to over-accentuation of the mental vehicle. So, let's say, such a love of mentality exists that the lower two vehicles are ignored and left vulnerable. So he's giving us these few, maybe, let's see. No, there are going to be a few more. But case number three is interesting, you know, for people who get swept by mental interest and fail to live in a practical sense. Number five is elementals and subhuman entities of a malicious nature. Apparently there are such, who rush in on the slightest opportunity and where kindred vibrations may be felt. I wonder how their handling of a physical body would demonstrate itself. Or, you know, which particular categories they would infect. I think maybe the first and second category particularly. And maybe I'm not so much the fourth. And one wonders, could the neglect in the third case be sufficient that the true owner of the vehicle would be isolated in the mental body and could not control what happened to the emotional and physical? Here are some other types. Some of the lower devas, harmless but mischievous, who from sheer freakishness and fun enter another body in much the same way as a child loves to dress up. Well, maybe it's not so funny if it happens. But, you know, you've seen the kids dress up in their parents' clothes, and it's just their play. The use of the word freakishness is interesting, isn't it? It seems a bit of an odd type of obsession, and maybe would be noticed as quite different from other types. And then one more here. Occasional visitors from other planets who enter certain highly evolved bodies for purposes of their own. And this is very, very rare. You know, obviously, the first thing that some people will do is say, oh, well, if I am possessed, if I am obsessed, it's going to be that type of being who's doing the obsessing. But that the Tibetan writes two varies, which certainly suggests the rarity of it. Well, what can we do about all these tendencies? We have to see to the strength of our integration. We have to have a active heart center. We have to work from the apex of the mind. We have to be the true observer, ever vigilant. And if we find ourselves getting swept away by some kind of apparently strange or foreign influence, we have to cut that, notice it and cut it and regain our control. In all of occultism, the idea of control is a powerful one, because otherwise forces about which so far we know very little may run away with the show, you know. Let me now give you some of the methods that eventually will be the first attempts at a cure. So ever the healer, you know, DK, would not give us the dangers without the methods of correcting or dealing with these dangers. In the first type of cases, those due to physical plane weakness, the stress of the cure will be laid first on building up a strong physical body in both its departments, though especially the etheric body. And this, okay, so this is, again, I'm going to try to keep a little bit of a 1-2-3 going here. This will be done in future years with the direct aid of the Devas of the Shadows, the Violet Devas, you know, four different colors, or Devas of the Ethers. The strengthening of the etheric web will be aided by means of violet light with its corresponding sound. Is it a G? Is it a B? Administered in quiet sanitariums, so the other sounds do not interfere, obviously. Coincident with this treatment will be the attempt to strengthen the mental body. With the strengthening of the physical body will come longer and longer periods of freedom from attack, and eventually the attack will cease altogether. So this is curing method number one. And generally, what can we say? Generally, a strengthening of both the etheric physical body and the mental body. Because it is weakness, and, you know, the sort of lax elasticity of the protective web, which has let the invading influences enter. I guess we cannot neglect any vehicle, and if we have too much of the lopsidedness, then we will suffer as a result. Sometimes DK said, well, people appear to be fanatics, but they might have a very specific emphasis that they have to carry out. And in fact, that emphasis may be a balancing for what they did not do in the past. So appearances can be deceiving. Anyway, this is the first type of difficulty, and the cure for the first, he says, case says. Certainly we see this, however, in the first case. The second case is having to do with coordination. And of course, this requires cooperation with the Devas of the Shadows. And under the seventh ray, which is a ray particularly associated with the etheric body, that strengthening of the etheric body will occur. And with the knowledge of vibratory medicine, through notes, sounds, colors, and so forth, a general strengthening of the etheric physical, and especially the etheric, can occur. So we get some little glimpse of the medicine of the future, and the curing of subtle ills with which we are not so concerned today, and or about which we know relatively little, you know, attributing to these ills causes which are not accurate or fully understood. Now the next one, the lack of coordination. I just want to, you know, when the cause is the lack of coordination between the physical and the emotional vehicles, the first method of cure will be definite exorcism by the aid of mantrams and ceremonial, such as religious ritual. I think we have very capable people even now. And since the majority of human beings are emotionally polarized, with a strong emotional vehicle out of coordination with the physical, let us say, the kind of exorcism now extant will be useful and can also be improved upon. Qualified persons will use these mantrams at night when the obsessing entity may be supposed to be absent during the hours of sleep. Those mantrams will call the real owner back, will build a protective wall after his re-entry, and will seek to force the obsessing one to stay absent. This is really interesting. Of course, naturally, such mantrams presently exist, but cannot be allowed wide publication due to the very likely misapplication or wrongful application of the mantram. When the real owner has returned, the work will then be to keep him there. You kind of think of Neptune and Pisces and maybe sign Cancer, you know, where it's just so easy to slip out of the body. And after a while, that can be a dangerous thing because you come back and someone's in your house, you know. There have been cases in war where families have been banished from their home and they had to leave to save their life. They come back and someone's living in the house. And there's a big fight, sometimes leading to death, about who is the rightful possessor of the house. So when the real owner has returned, the work will then be to keep him there. Educative work during the day and protective measures at night for longer or shorter periods will gradually eliminate the evil occupant or unwanted tenant. And in the course of time, the sufferer will continue to procure immunity. More anent this can be given later. Well, when the man came back and he found his house full of devils, he had a lot of work to do, didn't he, to get rid of them for the second time. And then he would be more, far more vigilant, far more attentive than possessing a cavalier attitude, an uncaring attitude, an overconfident attitude. Well, hopefully none of us will fall into this type of difficulty, and that we will stay as an integrated, self-governing being, with governance really from the soul. Hopefully that will be the case. When there is mental obsession, okay, then what do we do? So let's take a look here. Then the matter is more difficult. In most of the first cures achieved in the future will center around the first two groups, you know, because of more common occurrence. But mental obsession must await greater knowledge through experimentation, though experimentation from the very first should be undertaken. The work will have to be done mostly from the mental plane by those who can function there freely, and so contact the thinker in his mental body. The cooperation of the thinker must then be procured, and a definite attack conjointly made on the obsessed physical and emotional bodies. A joint attack. Conjointly, a definite attack, conjointly made. Meaning the physician or exorcist involved with providing the cure, and also the cooperating but banished individual, who is the true owner of the now obsessed lower two vehicles. During the night, much of the work in the first two cases of cures will be done, but in the latter case, the thinker has to win back his physical and emotional bodies as well. Hence the exceeding difficulty, and death often eventuates, often, in these cases. So it is a rarer type of obsession, and maybe one to which third-ray, fifth-ray types, neglecting the outer form, are subject, quite possibly. Greater knowledge is coming, and some experimentation can be done. Those who is it that functions from the mental plane? It's not just those who we can deem to be intelligent thinkers. There has to be a sensitivity to actually see what's going on the mental plane. So a higher psychism. Involved. Sight on the mental plane. And a double attack by the therapist and the interested banished party who is interested in bringing back a condition of ownership of his lower vehicles. So he has to win them back. And I suppose certain mantras will also help, I guess. Because there seem to be occult methods whereby this can happen. Okay, so certain mantras must be used, probably, here in this case, as well. Now, we have a little gloomy prognosis here with respect to the snapping of the cord, severing of the magnetic cord, which these Dark Brothers can accomplish. I suppose very radical changes of behavior in which a person seems so much to have changed that they're unrecognizable are of this category. And they plunge downward, whereas before they had an unsullied reputation, but somehow they've left a sore spot through which entry can be magnetically gained. Nothing can be done. Well, okay. So we are now alerted to the dangers, at least a few of them. And there are, this is a whole new subject coming up now, dangers from the Deva groups, the Deva evolution. And I think it might be wise simply to wait until we can enter into that more fully. This is page 128. And I think we have to go back to where we started all this. And, you know, this looks like the end of program number 29 and the beginning of program 30, the next time. And so far, we've gone from page 121 to 128. In today's work on this, and our 2 weeks have passed. I regret that very much, but this is now the 12th of September, 2020, and we'll be starting next time, whenever that will be, hopefully soon, but maybe not tonight, on page 128, and it'll be on the XX of September. We'll be talking about dangers from the Deva evolution. Well, friends, so much to think about, isn't there? This wonderful little book, it's not little really, it's 300 and something pages, but I suppose connected with cosmic fire, it seems relatively little. We have to learn many facts about the workings of the inner worlds. Maybe only one of our sort of webinar classes, if we can call them classes or discussions, is a deviation from this very meticulous study of the science of relations. And that is the work of the identify as being, the oneness factor, which is a parallel to all of the detailed interrelations we learn or try to learn with meticulous entirety the way they are taught by DK, even though he would say probably I'm not being too meticulous right now because I can't possibly offer you that complete meticulous approach, not given the timing and the day that it is, you know, the period of history in which we find ourselves. Maybe in the new esoteric schools, of which we hope the Maurya Federation is kind of a stimulant, or for which we hope it's a stimulant. In the new esoteric schools, more of this meticulous learning, especially in secondary schools, will occur. So, lots of love, many blessings from all of us on the communications team. And remember, you can go to Makara, www.makara.us, and also as we go along to our YouTube channel, Maurya Federation Esoteric Education, and find these programs that you can study at liberty. There are video programs, and elsewhere on Makara, there are simply verbally written programs, programs which have commentary that are in writing, and then programs that have commentary through the spoken word. So let us persist in meditating and studying with depth and serving in an avid manner. All the best to you, and we'll see you at the next occasion. Bye for now.